92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
All because of a fancy bike?
Not just bikes. We also make a rower.
Have you ever tried to row? Too hard.
Not with Form Assist. It actually teaches you how to row. So it doesn't matter if you're a first-time rower or a seasoned pro. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try the Peloton Row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
A kangaroo keeps escaping his enclosure at the zoo. In an effort to keep him inside at night, the zookeepers construct a 10-foot fence around his habitat. The next morning, they find the kangaroo wandering around the zoo. The zookeepers construct a 20-foot fence to keep the kangaroo from escaping, but the next day he is loose once again. The zookeepers begin construction on a 50-foot fence they're sure will keep the kangaroo in his enclosure. Watching the men work, a camel in the neighboring enclosure sticks his head over to the kangaroo's side and asks, "How high do you think they'll make it this time?" The kangaroo answers, "Not sure, but it still won't matter, unless they remember to lock the door this time."
Listening to Cobras and Fire, a Pantheon podcast, featuring your hosts, Elsie Fox and Baco, two men who I promise you have never spent any time in a kangaroo's pouch.
I get up, and nothing gets me down. You got it tough, I've seen the toughest so.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, LC, and I'm joined, as always, with the not too bad Baco. How are you, sir?
Not too bad.
Yeah, I figured I'd just blast off the show, you know, launch the show with a classic.
Yeah, why not?
You wrote for me.
Jerk Sock, Squish. Yeah. Let's hit all the hits today.
Yeah, let's hit it all, first 30 seconds, and throw an explosion on there, too.
Hey, I got something to hit you with. Speaking of hits, I learned something this week that I haven't taken time to actually research to find out if it's true. But apparently kangaroos do not fart. Did you know that?
That's what we're starting with?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kangaroo farts.
So you're going to hit me with that, but you didn't research it. So right now somebody's like, that's amazing. But at the same time, there's no...
somewhat reputable source. No, it was a local radio show.
Okay. Yeah, but you didn't... any zoologists listening right now that are either like thrilled or bringing this up, like I tell this to people all the time. Or...
nobody believes their heads,
or their heads exploding because it's completely wrong.
Whatever, yeah, kangaroo fart. You know, it's a good name for a band, I figure, or a record, you know, something like that. But if they would have to be from Australia for you to accept it. So, like,
what if the actual truth was they do fart, but it's kept forever inside that little pouch, and then finally when they die, it opens up and just
it's just a mess of methane.
Yeah.
Oh man. No, there is some. I can back this up a little bit. Something called greenlivingtips.com has an article on kangaroos don't fart.
Okay.
So that is the confirmation I can give you this. But, you know, the person who wrote this said they can honestly say they've never heard a kangaroo or smelled the whiff of a kangaroo fart. So, and I can honestly say neither have I. But I've also never boxed one. Have you?
Boxed a kangaroo? Mm-hmm. No. I was thinking more of like a kangaroo Dutch oven when you said boxed one.
That'd be good too. Kangaroo shoving your head under the covers. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Doesn't fart.
True.
Try that at home, kids.
No, I've never boxed one, but those videos are still amazing.
Yeah, it's unreal.
They never get old, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's some animal cruelty maybe going on there, but the kangaroos usually handle themselves pretty good, man. I didn't realize until somewhat recently how buff those fuckers are typically. And
right, I remember that. You were shocked. Like, this was like about 100 episodes back when you're like amazed by the physique.
Yeah, right? And how mean they are. God, they, in cartoons, they're fun, and they have a little pouch that they can carry you around in. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Well, another kind of random thing that came up in my... Oh, go on.
Hold on. You're saying we're moving past kangaroo facts already? We're moving that quick?
Did you have more?
Well, I'm just saying, like, what's some of the best kangaroo movies out there? Like, what's in culture? Hmm. How does kangaroo... I mean, it's an Australian export.
Do you remember the tennis shoes in the 80s, kangaroos?
Did you have a pair? Because I did.
Yeah, I had a pair of roos. Yeah, at some point. Yeah.
I had a pair of roos, and I think you could hold a couple dollars rolled up in the
That's
side.
That's right. They had a pouch.
A couple quarter. Right. That's a bit like I'm going to the arcade, and I have three or four rounds of Donkey Kong right in my yeah, that didn't popular. It's like it's, you know. Now we don't carry cash, but back in the day, did you use those? Because I was all about the pouch.
Yeah.
It was very like non-practical at the same time.
I didn't have money on me too often, so I don't know what I was putting in there.
So you got a pair of roos, and then you were sad because you couldn't fill them up because you had no funds.
Man, you know, you're flashing me back here a bit. I think a can of pop was 50 cents, and there was a pop machine about a block away from mm-hmm. our house in Owatonna. And man, if I had like 35 cents, when I got that final 15 cents, the first thing I did was go get it. So, and then, yeah, if I had multiple quarters and I was at an arcade, I didn't have them after I was there too long. So, the money came in, it went out as fast as it came in, man. So,
sure. Yeah.
But
one last thing about those shoes is I do remember, using the actual pouches at one point and then going to some place to pay for something and be like, how much was that? And they're like, oh, it's $1.75. I go, hold on. All of a sudden, boom, you like disappear from the counter. The guy's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm getting my money. I'm like, dude, this is so impractical.
Couldn't you fit a couple bucks in there if you folded it up or something? Like, I'm trying to remember where it was at. It had like a little zipper. Was that right?
Kangaroos, kangaroos are the news. Kangaroos, kangaroos, shoes to choose. Kangaroos, kangaroos, pocket shoes. Kangaroos, kangaroos, kangaroos.
Yeah, it had a little zipper, but it's like you're holding up the whole line. Like, hey, look at this guy going in his shoes for his fucking money. You know what I mean? Like, just use your pockets. Do your pockets not work? I mean, come on. And you, it would be a very offensive if you were rocking cargo shorts and you were using your ruse at the same time.
I don't know.
It's like 12 other options.
If you've been behind me at a festival with my cargo shorts on trying to find which pocket I put the cash in, okay. It's probably just as bad as if I had them in my shoe.
Kangaroos, kangaroos.
Sorry, so, hold on. I thought I had them.
Kangaroos, kangaroos.
Much respect. So just let's pour a little liquor out for ruse.
Here I go
approaching 50. I've passed the milestone, but I was thinking about one thing. When you're kind of getting close to 40, your mindset is kind of like, all right, where's my life at? Am I need to start taking care of I need to be better financially, things of that nature. You know what I mean? Have a good auto loan rate? Things like that. When you start approaching 50, you start thinking more along the lines of, this might be the last cat I ever get. You know, I mean, I have now lived to where every time a brand new show started, I never had any doubt that I might not make it to the end of it. It might last too long. Those are going to start creeping into you, especially once you get a grandchild in the mix. That's probably what's throwing Baco down the whole thing. But it's just I just bought a new car. Will I ever buy another new car again? I don't know, man. So that, I just thought I'd lighten you up on a Sunday morning with some of that, you know, as you approach that milestone in a week or two here.
That's not happening. It's hold on. I like the thoughts here, but I'm thinking you could use this to your advantage when you're in that zone. In this age zone too, where you can actually validate laziness. Like in other words, like I have to binge the show. I have to watch all three seasons of this because it's likely I may die next week, and there's no way I'm going to
likely, the end of Ozark. The chance of it happening.
Oh sure,
you know what I mean.
I'm just saying
the odds. You know they go greater every day. So.
Or how about like I need to go, you know, get 10th row for this show because it's likely I will. This may be my last Juggalo concert.
Yeah? Oh right, yeah. Stock up on the Four Loko and Fego. So
yeah, I mean, there's certain things you have to like. I've never seen Gwar. Maybe I need to see Gwar now.
You know what? If you haven't, check them out. It's a fun show.
I'm sure it is.
Wear any clothes that you want to wear ever again. But other than that.
Right.
Or just stand way in the back. You know, it's not like you can't see. You know, I mean, you're a tall enough guy, right. And they wear these giant costumes. But, you know, and maybe bring some Bluetooth headphones to play something else to listen to while you're watching.
To enjoy it, like when you're being hit in the face with gore pre-cum or whatever's going on stage.
I regret now saying the phrase pre-cum before we got on because now you've dropped it in twice. And it's like, it's all you do is just like, no, that's my thing today.
Listen, I have nothing. I have no original thought. I just gleam off of others.
It's not. I'm thinking. Yeah, I came up with pre-cum. It's mine.
That's right. First guy. First guy to discover it. Hey, sorry, honey.
That wasn't where I was going. Down. I'm more going.
I should probably come up with a name of this stuff.
I was going more along the lines of, I wonder what your conversations with your family later today are going to be like. With how are you going to squeeze pre-cum into the trip to the park or something like that?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, little Elsie Junior's running in trips. Oh, I didn't quite make it. That's like a pre-cum.
That's right, exactly. You started too early.
Oh, speaking of starting too early, we're off and running, man. Fucking kangaroos, pre-cum, and one day closer to death. Well, M3, the music festival out in Maryland every May, I believe. Yeah, May, because we're in May, and it just happened.
Yep.
You know, it's a big deal for guys in the podcast ilk, at least of our peers, but it's, you know, basically for those unaware, it's, you know, a lot of the 80s bands, you know, Kix headlines Friday night almost every year. But you've had bands like Loudness, Dokken, Lynch Mob, all basically, if they were a hit in the 80s, they played it.
Yeah, I say it's like Monsters of Rock, except all the bands actually show up for it.
There you go. Yeah. You had a COVID boat, though. I think
I did.
I think that had more to do with the no shows. But anyway.
Well, that's what it is.
They had the same issue here, man. They did. What's his name?
Really?
Yep. Shit. The there's others, but the one I can pull is shit. Fuck.
Bang Tango?
Oh, one of the guitar players from Rat couldn't do it. And God. Was it the guy from Ace's band filled in for him? Fuck it. See, somebody filled in for somebody because they couldn't be there because of COVID. One of the big takeaways from M3 this year, that at least from the fan base, people that were there, people that were there remotely, whatever, you know what I mean? That all the social media chatter seemed to be around Skid Row and their fucking amazing new singer from, I can't remember, Eric Grunwald. He was in the band Heat, and we've talked on it a little bit when he was on before. He is a good singer, and he fits what they do by no doubt to it, is all I'm getting at.
And umlauts.
And umlauts, yes. Name. That's a big thing for you.
I think so.
One of the takeaways I've had when I've watched videos is this guy's ridiculous stage presence. I don't see this guy lasting because of that. I think at some point Rachel Bolan is going, what the fuck is he doing? I don't know people how to describe it, but he does this kind of like weird kind of herky jerky thing. He's kind of got that tall, lanky Sebastian Bach body from like the Bach in his prime anyway.
Yeah.
So it almost seemed like it should work better than it does. And maybe it's the short hair. I can't really put my finger on it, but this guy looks like the least cool dude on the planet when he takes the stage. And I, again, can't knock him for the performance. And I never thought I would. I've liked every other singer. But it does seem like, and I heard the same reaction when ZP3 joined. People were like, oh my God, they found their guy. And these same people now are like, yep, this is the best singer they've had since Sebastian. And look, have your opinion. I don't care. That's pretty subjective. I thought Johnny Solinger was pretty good. Out of the ones they've had, my favorite of them was probably Tony Harnell, and I think he was probably the worst fit vocally for them, but he still did fine. But man, this guy's stage presence just is—it's kind of alarming. It's almost like he's having some kind of muscle spasm.
I haven't looked at it as usual.
Hey, let me talk to you about this new Skid Row singer just a little bit. It doesn't have to be a full segment.
Oh,
whatever you want to say is fine too. Have you had a chance to at least see him or watch that video I sent?
Yeah, I've seen a few.
I sent you the video that I saw that I first saw, and then I watched some of the ones from
that's
M3.
That's the one I watched
to see.
Let me see if it's. Let me see if it's the same one. So, you know, you're debuting yourself with a new band, your new lead singer, and you're thinking, what am I going to wear today? And I think the shirt that I saw was one that says, "Wish You Were Beer." is that his? It was a cutoff shirt. It's instead Something of like "Wish that. You Were Here," "I Wish You Were a Beer." That was a shirt he was wearing. I was like, not sure if that's the shirt I would have picked for my debut performance.
Well, his AIDS Kills Grandma's or AIDS Kills Fags Dead shirt was in the washing machine.
There's a history of bad phrased shirts with Skid Row. So they're probably like, you know what? Upgrade. Wish you a beer. We'll take it.
I think the guy's look is fine. I'm not that picky about the wish you were a beer shirt, whatever. As long as he doesn't have one that says in dog beers, I've had one. Then I would be upset. But the guy looks cool. But then, like,
what if on the back of that shirt it just said the number 7, like a jersey?
Yeah, but he looks cool. But when he starts moving, it reminds me of Elaine on Seinfeld dancing. It's like she's a good looking gal. She
got the thumbs.
Yeah, and she looks like she's well put together. She handles herself well. You see her dance, sure. And you go, did she have Down syndrome?
Right.
Has he had a head injury?
Back away.
You know, yeah. So it's just like. And as a fan, that's part of the experience is watching these guys, especially this era of bands. You know, they go up and they put their leg up on the monitor and they do the crotch rock. This guy, it's almost like he's like skipping, you know, like ooh, like an elf or something. You know, and it's like
he's very exciting. I can't give any critical thought here because the fact is I haven't looked into that much. I know he moves around with a lot more energy than those guys, and that can be a little bit of like. You know, juxtaposition and stuff like that. But I just think that one of the reasons that Skid Row went with him, though, is for no additional charge, he came with his own backing tracks for free. What do you think? Yeah. From Heat, since he's from Heat.
Yeah, no doubt. I think when they fire this guy, which is going to happen, just to fuck with Sebastian, because we know they like to, they should hire Jericho. Yeah.
Ooh, that's great. I think that's a great move.
Down the avenue, I got my fist in the air, checking out of the rain.
May, we decided, the wife and I, to do basically no drinking for May, except our whole thing was that unless you're off campus, in other words, like you could have a drink if you go to somebody's house.
Oh, or no drinking at home.
Like that. No drinking at home, no drinking during the week. And usually it's not like I'm like slamming 19 shots or like that on a Wednesday. But I do have a beer and stuff like that during the week here and there. But we have had nothing during the week. And my whole point of telling you that is the whole thing was like, I thought we'd have much more energy. It feels so much better not drinking. So fuck it. If you're just like a two beer a person or some wine or whatever or a drink, guess what? Here's my PSA. Doesn't help that much, not drinking.
Yeah, I gotta tell you. It's like,
you know, there's not that much of a difference. We had that. We're like, I thought we'd be like, God damn, I'm dropping 10, you know, I'm starting, you know, 3 pounds, and it's been like 3 weeks, and we're like, what the fuck? Where's all the benefits?
It's like when you're watching the news and they say, and up next we have money saving tips, how to lose weight. And then you watch it and you're like, I already do all that. You know, it's just like, stop drinking pop. I haven't had pop in 2 months. Like, I stopped drinking pop and lost 50 pounds. No, you didn't. You stopped drinking pop, changed your entire diet, and became a workout junkie. And you're crediting it all to pop. It's the Gene Simmons logic.
No, that's the whole thing. My whole thing is this. My PSA is, hey, everybody, drink moderately. Get decent rest. Enjoy your life. Just saying, 3 weeks in, I thought I would just launch out of my bed in the morning, you know, like 6 a.m., like birds chirping, like, I'm completely rested. Bullshit. Have a beer.
There we go.
Get over yourself. All right. What's next? You got an update for us, Baco?
You want to do a little
Van Halen? Okay. Yeah, Baco, so on the last episode, we talked about the whole rumors where Newsted kind of spilled the beans on some kind of tribute or tour or something to do with Joe Satriani and Jason and fucking Pink and who knows who else, which is going to be part of this Van Halen tribute, either show or tour. Do you have an update on this?
Yeah, sort of. So Michael Anthony chimed in to kind of give us an update on his role in this, why he wasn't part of the initial rumors, all that kind of stuff. He was on Mitch LaFon. Mitch, our boy, he has a brand new show, apparently, Mitch LaFon and the Jeremy and White Show. So make sure to go check that out as soon as you can, listeners. Anyway, appearing on the show, he talked about, he said when Jason came out and said that Alex had talked to him last year or something like that, which is kind of interesting because I actually have been talking in a conference call with Van Halen manager Irv Azoff, Alex and Dave last year, Anthony said. So I don't know what the Jason thing was all about. And that's with Joe Satriani. I spoke to Joe about it. I hope something happens in the future, Anthony said. I think Joe was mentioning in some of the interviews that it's more of a celebration of the band and the end of the music of Van Halen than calling it Van Halen. Obviously, Eddie being the most integral part of the whole band, you can't really call it Van Halen after that. So that doesn't really tell us too much as far as a confirmation and stuff. Doesn't clear up all the comments Roth made as far as like putting Pink on. Right. He does call it a tour, though. And, you know, Irv Azoff, of course, is, you know, one of the heavy hitter managers in the industry. And if that guy wants something done, he typically gets it done. So, and you know, there's money to be made. So that's probably, you know, Irv isn't in it for the purity of the celebration, but
right.
So I don't know, man, to me, this just muddies shit up more. but it keeps the topic in the headlines, so to speak.
It is interesting. I mean, Van Halen is just this catalog of music, you know what I mean? Like, you talk about the whole Kiss 2.0 and things like that. That's just part of a American culture, you know, and just music in general. Like, it's just, I can see the desire to try to
don't try to tell Billie Eilish that she's never heard of him.
Oh well, besides her, in general, besides him, I mean, making a joke there, because I didn't even know it was. Lady, the first time you mentioned her name, that's how out of it I was.
Well, I didn't know who she was.
Yeah. I did not. No, I didn't. Yeah. See, I was like the Van Halen. She was my Van Halen.
Maybe there's something to what she's saying.
Right.
Anyway, carry on.
No, just, but I can see, like, okay, we've got the only way but I mean, you've got Michael Anthony, Dave, obviously,
Alex.
Alex. Yeah, I'm just saying, like you got three out of the four. Obviously, you have the guitarist. Is like I could see like trying to assemble a version of a band, just like every version, right, our 80s and 70s bands, and like, hey, we fixed this shit with Journey or Foreigner, or isn't there a version, isn't there one of these classic bands that has no original members that's on the like a Skynyrd or a what's one? Is it Foreigner or there's somebody to it? Foreigner.
Yeah,
no.
Mick Jones plays shows once in a while, but he does a lot of times he steps out.
And they're like we have Satriani. He's a close second, you know, position to pull this off. So I don't know. Maybe it is more realistic than we think for this to fire it up. But I would think that you would have to have three at least, and then kind of interchange them out if one goes bad. Like
I'm with you, man. My personal opinion on there are these sacred cow bands that when you lose someone of that ilk, you just it's done.
Right.
Frankly, everybody in Kiss is alive and they should be done. So it isn't just about that. We all know I'm the minority opinion in that kind of nonsense. You know, there's people out there that are just clamoring for more and more and more of their, maybe it's a way to keep feeling young. Maybe that's one of the side effects of turning 50 is that you clamor for all these old acts to still, because if they're still around, I'm still around. I've never understood that fascination. It seems so out of touch with what got all of us into music in the first place, and that is because what we liked, that was the new thing. Why are we stopping that if we're so passionate about music? So, but again, the evidence is out there. How many people have been in LA Guns? Fucking A. Joe Satriani, Leave Chickenfoot, which was basically Van Halen light, the Sammy era Van Halen, and join this Van Halen. And if David Lee Roth wants Pink to be the lead singer and she's good with it, fucking A, man. You know, Stephen Michaels buying tickets and going.
Queen, Queen with goddamn Adam Lambert. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you have, just two members there, right? The Brian May and, the drummer, I can't remember his name.
Deacon? Or is that the bassist?
I thought that was the bassist.
See, again, that shows how...
I'm just not a Queen guy.
No, I'm saying, same with me. Hey, this is Freddie Mercury, this is Brian May, and these other two fellows. Yeah. You know? It's like, the odd thing is that at different times during Rolling Stones history, if you ask me to tell me what the full lineup is, because they've had a few in and out, you know, between the 70s and 60s, I'd probably fuck it up, but I have a huge wealth of their discography, you know what I mean, between Brian Jones and then, you know, that transition. Anyway.
We pick and choose who we are. I mean, for me, it's the Amboy Dukes and Kiss.
You know, you are deep into Amboy Dukes.
Yeah. I got their whole catalog.
Man, there's a lot of people. You talk about LA Guns having a lot of members. Amboy Dukes, lots of people in and out of that band. But going to like the but it is an odd thing. Like here's where I see it. I'm not endorsing this idea of this tour, because I think it is an odd thing to say. Okay, because really, if you put it together, it's like, are you really going like, man, I wish you could finally see Michael Anthony play live. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like missing out on that. That's not an Alex, obviously phenomenal drummer, but people aren't coming there for Michael Anthony and. Let's face it, okay? But on that end, you know, I was super happy when...
Stupid Jack Daniels bass.
Yeah, gotta see that bass, man.
Yeah, okay.
But I was, like, thrilled the fact that when I got into Zeppelin at, like, I don't know, 15 or 16, when I started really getting into them, then through college, the fact that Page and Plant went on tour, got together, and even though they didn't have John Paul Jones and everything like that, the fact that I got to see them live was a fucking thrill. But that's the two main components for the public of what Zeppelin was. I mean, if you want to say the two front runners of that band, just like GNR's quote reunion, you know, three out of five on tour. But those are the main things that people see on stage. What are your thoughts there?
Not a reunion, eh? I definitely wasn't there like talk of like, because I think for a long time Page would and John Paul Jones were fine finding another drummer and doing Zeppelin. And it was always Robert Plant that was the holdup. And I think after that that last performance they did, which was like for Ermit, oh God, I'm going to butcher his name.
Amit,
yeah, the big time music yep. guy behind them and all that stuff from the label. Anyway, like they wanted to keep doing it, and there was I think they pressured Plant a little bit to the point where he just finally said no, guys, it's just not happening. And right. they actually looked at like a couple different singers to do it. Wasn't the dog whistle that's singing for Slash, one of the candidates, Miles Kennedy, people.
That's why Page ended up with old Mr. Slide It In for his little that solo yep. album.
And I think
like,
that
I'm done. I want to rock out.
And you know, because Coverdale was always kind of like dollar store version of right. Plant. Yeah. Like, I think that kind of inspired Plant to kind of come back. I definitely do.
Plant's like, fuck you. You actually did an album with that goddamn Coverdale guy. He's like, fine.
Didn't he do two?
Just the one that I know and of. That's what I had.
He gets the lead title, Coverdale Page.
Yeah.
That should have been Page and Coverdale, yeah. man.
Well, it's alphabetical. It's just like us. You know, I put you first.
No, is that how? I'm the David Coverdale of Coverdale yeah. and Fire.
That's right. Fuck. Baco/LC. It's just alphabetical. There's no ego involved.
I come from the land of ice and snow. Me too.
me too. The Me Too Ice and Snow movement.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were talking about Van Halen, I believe.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
Yeah, man.
But what I'm saying is, like, let's say you're a kid, you're getting into Van Halen and everything like that, and you're like, oh, I finally missed. But at the same time, if you're a kid getting into Van Halen, you finally get to see this live, and it's fucking Roth, like, shitting over the stage. That's one of the reasons I didn't go to the things in the last, like,
yeah.
10 or 15 years, because I've seen the live performance of Roth. So then you have that part. It's like, so
well, we know plenty of people are more than happy with
right.
that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I mean,
super fans, I call them, from Texas.
Oh. It's funny, you immediately go to him and I go to Stephen Michael.
Well, we have to get you know, the South and the whatever the hell Texas is.
Look, I just like to have some beers with some friends and hang out and have a good time, and the only way I can do that,
you motherfucker,
is by spending $170 on Van Halen tickets. Back to the whole thing, I'm still don't think this is going to happen. I don't know, maybe a tribute show. I think Wolfie's onto something. He like knows more than he's letting on, because he just wants to be left the fuck alone when it comes to this nonsense. And I'm happy to give him that space, but he just said it's never happening. So I don't know.
What I can guarantee though is the versions of this in the contracts is enough to warrant its own shred-it truck at the end of it when it all falls apart. There's going to be, there's mounds of paper, revisions, this, that, and the other, back and forths. There's so many. I tell you what's happening. This thing is basically pushing the economy forward with lawyer fees. You know what I mean? Like that never happens. But everybody gets
the
paid.
The backbone of our economy
is based on
fees.
This possible Van Halen tribute tour. Everything
it's
will fall
It's not small
apart.
Business. It's not no. small business. It's the possibility of a tour yeah. and then its eventual demise. So yeah.
The possibility of the tour has already made people millions.
Come on! We'll be right back.
Did you hear Vince Neil or Phil?
All I'm going to say is anytime you hear, have you heard Vince Neil? It gives me a laugh. It's like a punchline before you hear the joke.
Greasy Phil from Def Leppard is bringing his own personal trainer on tour.
You call him Greasy
or should we call
Phil?
Him we should oily call him Oily Phil. Phil. Oily Phil. Phil. Oily Phil. Phil. Yeah.
You can't catch him. Grease Lightning.
Vaso yeah. Phil. Yeah. Maybe he's... But he's bringing his own personal trainer on the tour. And he said he hopes Vince works out with him. Again, a not-so-subtle hint of, like, you know, you don't look that good, Vince.
Yeah.
You sure you're going to be able to do this? Courtney Cronin-Dole officially says he's going to die on this tour.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
I'm like, no, this fucking charlatan so has skated through everything.
She's running her own Deadpool. And the only person on it is Vince Neil.
Well, I don't, maybe there's others on it, but yeah, she definitely has Vince in 2022. But
okay, interesting. What song do you think he'll go out on?
Oh, Kickstart My Heart would be the perfect one, right?
No,
and
I think
you can come out with defibrillators during it, like boom, 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 would, and then
I would like
back
him
to life.
I would like to have him go out on if they decide to play the cover of Like a Virgin. That they had in the Dirt soundtrack. They just bust that deep cut. No, come on. That's a crowd pleaser.
There's no chance they're playing that.
What about Sex? That was a good one they played when I saw it last time.
That's
Sex.
Another one you're not going to hear.
Oh, man.
They're going to be as creative as Kiss with their set list. We all know that. So.
Oh, well, sure. But, okay.
By demonic and screamonic hits, you're going to get that. Or
it's probably Shout the Devil would maybe take him down. Like the because it's a lot of the garbly gook, you know, the verse.
That's what's going to happen. He's actually going to try, and it's going to be too much for him.
I haven't actually used the real lyrics from Shout the Devil since 84.
I'm going to go out, guys, and I'm going to sing every fucking word. And he gets three songs into the night, and pop, bam. Just can't do it. The
what did Sanford? Taker. What did Sanford always say? Coming for you? What was it?
Oh, coming for whatever his wife's name.
Yeah.
It's all right. Man,
I'm coming for you, Thelma Louise. I don't know what it
but
is.
But it's because the show's so current.
Fresh reference.
Some Red Fox.
Well,
it's not going to be his heart that kills him, though. It's going to be like some weird vocal cord snapping that like also like whips back into like the back of his spinal column something and just, you know, mutilates like his nervous system. And he just goes down in some kind of weird crappy flop.
Oh, he finally taps into the part that actually makes melody. And it just
breaks.
This hasn't been used before. So you got to warm it up first.
He finds out what his diaphragm is and starts singing through it, and his diaphragm explodes, and that's how Vince Neil goes out.
But yeah, I can see that.
It turns out his cholesterol level's great, his heart's in great condition, so right. No problems there. He just had a weak diaphragm and vocal cord.
That is kind of throwing a little bit of shade, isn't that? Like basically
a little bit, yeah.
Did he say like?
What do you think, Vince? You want to hit the treadmill with old Oily Phil?
You don't want to actually go on the treadmill after Oily Phil. You just zip right off that thing, huh?
Yeah, he has people that clean it.
Is that right? He's got a towel guy he brings on tour too.
Oily Phil's at Planet Fitness using all the machines with someone behind him cleaning them all. You know, because everything's super clean now. I want to know if like Def Leppard gets like. Three Planet Fitness memberships for the tour so they can all shower just like Bubble Flex and Red Sun Rising.
That's what I think the move is.
Go there. Save a little money, not get hotel rooms.
You're in like Nebraska to Planet Fitness to see Joe Elliott toweling off.
Oh, man.
Hey there.
Nudity. Hey, were you ever a fan of Kids in the Hall back in the day?
I like the little I crush you.
The squish in your head, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
They just rebooted, and there's some really, really uncomfortable full male nudity at the very beginning of the episode. So there's my recommendation for this week.
What is that on now?
Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. But back to Oily Phil and Vince working out. I love that image. Again, like, I don't know if they're on treadmills, ellipticals. I'm not sure what Phil likes to focus on.
I'm going to see them
do a lot of ab work.
I want to see him use those ropes.
Oh, the ropes, yeah.
The ropes.
That's a good one.
Or then the part where they, you know, you toss the medicine ball back and forth. And you see Vince
what about
back.
The big ball that you stretch over? And then,
yeah,
like, someone actually uses Vince as the ball. Like, Phil just, like, yeah.
No, I just want to see, like, he's in perfect form and everything like that. And then you throw in the medicine ball, it's just him falling over and all kinds of, it'd just be like a comedy show, like a little Saturday Night Live skit. If you just videotaped them.
You got like Phil on
out.
A bike and he's just fucking going to town. He's sweating.
Yeah.
And Vince is on one of those lower ones where you kind of sit and lean back, just taking a real casual time, eating a cheeseburger. He's got like a Wendy's bag with him.
Well, I was imagining him with gym shorts and both pockets are like burritos.
You know, I probably was this guy back in the day, but I was kind of off-put walking into Planet Fitness earlier this week. There was a guy getting out of his vehicle going in as well, smoking a cigarette.
right.
The juxtaposition. It's like, time to get healthy. I think part of it is that nobody smokes anymore. But
right. No, it's I really hope that.
So I imagine Vince having a heater while he's on the cycle there.
I just think the Phil and Vince reality show would be a top ratings.
Bring back the Odd Couple, Felix and Oscar. Just have them play. Obviously Vince is Oscar. So
I'd like to know how Vince Neil is not one of the hosts of Is It Cake? How is that a show, by the way? My kids had that on like last weekend, and I'm like, what is this show? They're just looking at cake and trying to figure out, is it cake or is it not cake? And I'm like, that's the fucking show? Jesus Christ. Where are we in society? And it was the number one. It was rated like number one on Netflix. This is the top watched show on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm new to the game. Is It Cake?
Yeah, that's stupid. It's, I don't know, whatever. You know, even like, I remember some of those like shows like that would be like, I don't know. I mean, it could be like those motorcycle guys, Orange County Choppers. Mm-hmm. I just want to see the bike. I don't care about this build up to it. I don't care how you make it. And the same with like my wife and daughter would watch these cake build-offs, and they, you know, all the bullshit drama, all the family like, oh my God, we're not getting along, and like, oh, we're gonna make it, and then everybody always makes it just in time, and mm-hmm. and you don't ever go, how come it always happens exactly the same? Also, I didn't need to know what fondant was or fondant. That stuff that basically makes it possible to make cake look like anything but cake.
Yes.
And why can't you just say, hey, check this out. This is a fucking cake, and go, wow, that's fucking kind of impressive. And then move on with our fucking lives. Yes. I don't like again, it's not like my kid is doing it, you know? I mean, then I can bore people about it and at least have a personal connection, but it's like week after week after week, it's the same thing.
All I know is if a listener could let me know, because I don't have the time for this, just let me know what the best season of Is It Cake is, because I want to know if they really dialed it in on season 3 and everything like that, because I want to see the best.
Skip the first 4 episodes of season 2 and then start there. Yeah,
start there? Okay.
And then you'll go back and rewatch the stuff, and it'll make a lot more sense.
Yeah,
trust
and then you're like,
trust
this
me,
is, this is where they didn't have the full vision built. You can tell that they really hit it here. For Is It Cake?
We are fucking nailing this episode, by the way. Fucking Is It Cake? Yes. Yes, it is. You know what? I think you're cake.
So, but to dial this back in from cake, the tour and everything, I think both of us are amazed that it actually is happening. And it does. It's still in the books. The stadium tour. And, you know, again.
That's what it's called. I think I called it the tour. That's what they called when they toured with Kiss. This is the stadium tour.
That's what
Thank
it is.
You.
Okay,
Thank
you're right.
You.
You're
Thank
right.
You. But no, you're right.
But
I
again,
was wrong.
But again, opening with Joan Jett, that poor woman that she has to open this thing up. But then you've got.
Hey, it could be worse. Joan Jett could be Ted Nugent. That would be worse.
That is true. No,
we'll
I'm saying
that. A bit.
Yeah, but we've got. Oh yeah, that's true. Good. See, there's always a through line in these episodes, mm-hmm. folks. Then you've got Poison, Def Leppard, Motley. So, like, on this, but so I was actually, you know, I would say I was stadium tour curious. Let's call it that. And I went, I'm like, they're playing that, you know, they're playing here at fucking Rockies Coors Stadium, whatever. They're playing there. And I was like, how much do you think are tickets? Just shitty tickets.
$7.
$130 is the cheapest ticket you can find anywhere.
Wait till the day before the show.
Exactly. But I'm like, how is this still there? Like, I'm looking at this. Even if I was going to go for like $20 or $30 just for show material, just to go mm-hmm. and like see what it actually is. Because it actually is kind of like a curiosity of how this is going to go. Would you go? Here's my question. Would you go for $20? $20, $30?
I can't remember what day of the week it is here. I'll probably look at it. Man, I just... Because immediately I'm thinking, that's a lot of hassle because it's downtown Minneapolis. It means I got to go downtown Minneapolis. I got to park somewhere. Sure. I got to... It's just a... It is not an enjoyable venue to go see a show at with all the other stuff. And the fact that I don't care, it's like, well, you know, it just, I don't know, maybe.
As respected rock, as respected rock journalists, though, if we're going to trash it, I think we need to go. I think one of us needs to go. But at the same time, I'm like, man, who is, if anybody is actually paying that money, it's nothing but disappointment to me.
Well, maybe it's like one of those things. It's like your value and personal satisfaction comes from the cost. Like when you buy like a purse that costs 40 cents to make, but it costs $7,000.
Right.
The woman carrying that, makes them feel really good. But if it was $30, they probably would be donating it to Goodwill in a year. But you know, now it's a vintage bag, and so, maybe it has that kind of effect with this. It's like, I had the best time of my life with those $500 second level seats.
So you have to validate the amount you paid, saying it actually was good. Your brain changes, and maybe your ears, your filters go out because you have to validate your purchase.
Maybe a more optimistic way to look at that is that like. It freed you to enjoy the evening as opposed to being hypercritical and like I was upset at the bathroom lines. They didn't have the beer I wanted.
I'm not sure if I have the ability to not be hypercritical. I think I'm hardwired for that.
I don't know that that's an area that either one of us are going to do very well in. But that sense, we should be a little jealous. By the time this episode comes out, it'll be just before Creatures Fest or just after it. There's been a lot of hubbub about this in the KISS universe, of course, because you got Ace Frehley, Bruce Kulick, Vinnie Vincent, and Peter Criss all scheduled to appear. A host of other artists come in there. I know John Corabi is supposed to play a show, and maybe we'll get some kind of mini union. And then on top of that, they're throwing out all these, like, you know, different things going on each day during the day elsewhere that are all part of it. Yeah,
let's just describe a little bit about what this is, where it's located. You know, basically a celebration of KISS there in Nashville.
They built the tank. Did you see that?
I haven't seen that, no. That's amazing. Okay.
From the Creatures Tour. Anyway.
Okay. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 40th anniversary of Creatures of the Night, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah? Right?
And basically, I know, everybody... when do you start planning that? Like a year after Creatures comes out, you go, you know what, let's start getting some ideas in place for 39 years from now, because 40th anniversary of this record is going to be something that we're definitely going to want to make sure we mark in a monumental way.
I think it just the timing was made it right for, listen, if you're a KISS fan, you know what Creatures means, Creatures Fest. Yeah. I mean, and also creaturesfest.com, was that domain was definitely available. So,
and I am officially, I want to put a moratorium on using the KISS font lazily to promote anything KISS related. Hire a fucking art department, come up with your own branding, that kind of stuff. The KISS font looks good in the KISS logo and looks kind of dumb any other way. It looks silly.
How about never use the KISS font for anything else but the headline? Or the title, because if you try to read something like even those, remember those reissues in the 90s of the on CD right after the reunion, like the actual like background of each album was written the KISS font. I'm like motherfucker, this is like all caps and KISS font at the same time. My mind is exploding. It's the worst thing to read in a paragraph.
I want to make one exception, though. I do want the Bible to be printed in KISS font.
Oh, my God. You know, there's nothing – you can't enjoy Corinthians. And that's always my favorite possession of the Bible for those listening.
How come KISS hasn't made a KISS Bible yet?
Oh, no kidding. Oh, it's the same Bible, just all KISS font.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's nothing.
And very thin. And the only difference is, too, is the paper's even thinner for cost savings on that version of the KISS Bible. What do you think?
Even thinner. Yeah. You turn a page, it just crumples away into what it falls into the air.
Yeah, you're in the printing industry. What other besides the Bible, who has thinner paper in their books? Huh? Where do you get that paper?
That has to be just impossible to print on. That shit has to jam up in presses all the time.
How is it? It's the same stuff. I think the Bible is printed on the same paper that you use for that, like, stuff you put in a gift bag. You know what I'm talking about? You crumple it up and put it in there.
I was thinking Kleenex.
Oh, my Lord. Anyway, we are
KISS Bible coming in 2023.
That's right.
It's now included with your Dubai package. Anyway, this seems to, I don't know, Aaron Camaro said he's going, so we should get a recap.
Aaron's going now?
Yeah,
yes,
and
he's getting the mustache. I fucking love it.
Well, I don't think he's banned. I think it's just the sniznack can't go.
Understand.
But of course, we probably, almost everybody we met at Rockin' Pod is going to be at this thing, right? You know, the whole KISS universe, the KISS multiverse is now what people are saying.
I think Tom and Zeus of fellow Pantheoners are going to go. Yeah, Tom,
going.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, they mentioned on it.
Well, that'll be interesting. They're recapped. I did see one of the, you know, the I follow the Creatures page on Facebook, so I get all the updates. And one of my favorite updates was that Ace, Vinny, and Bruce are all going to be performing together. The Holy Trinity. Who the fuck ever? I mean, like, literally, like, the Holy Trinity? This is not like, you know, man, could you imagine, like, Hendrix, Page, and Van Halen jamming together? This is no KISS fan ever sat around going, man, just imagine getting Vinny, Bruce, and Ace together. Whew, boy, that would make my balls drop and my dick hard, baby.
Two out of those three have played together anyway already on the Unplugged.
Right. Yeah. And I look, the guy's promoting it. He's trying to sell it and all that stuff. But can we dial back on, look,
you're saying take it down a notch with the term Holy Trinity.
Yes. Yes.
And Holy Trinity in KISS font. Yes. Let's tell it back.
Without being too critical, because this event does look like if for what they're charging and what they're having there, this seems like a lot of fun. Okay, so flat out, I'm definitely not discouraging. It's the hype machine behind it, but it does seem the promotion is a bit about, oh man, wouldn't it be great if this and this happened, and then just throw some money out there and make it happen. And it's all these things that it's almost like a buffet. It's like, I want breakfast, tacos, and green bean casserole, and mac and cheese, and chicken, and a side salad, and some shrimp, and of course some really poorly baked fish. Wouldn't that be the most amazing meal? That's kind of how this feels.
I think what this should have been better is if Creatures Fest was actually the venue was an Old Country Buffet.
Oh, it turns out it is. It's at an Old Country Buffet, and to call back,
or a Shoney's. Which of the two?
Yeah, you know what? But Shoney's is still kicking. Old Country Buffet has closed a lot of their branches.
Have? You know, Shoney's has better light. They usually have better windows. Better.
But anyway, so Creatures Fest is of course taking place at a now defunct OCB. It has the perfect amount of seating needed for an event of this nature.
Which, by the way, if you want to know where were we, where we came up with the size of venues based on pizza places?
We were doing Friday Night Live.
That's right.
With Aaron Camaro and Chris, and I made the comment that some show was at a place that was now a closed Domino's, and then another show came up to it, and I'm like, well, how many Domino's big is this?
Sure.
Because as an American, the last thing we want to use to measure anything is actual measurements.
Right. You got to use comparisons.
No, it's like, oh, there's a pothole the size of three washing machines.
That's right. Or, I don't know. 45 inches wide?
I don't know what that means, but I know how big my washing machine is. I'm bad at fractions.
Back to the Old Country Buffet venue for Creatures Fest or whatever we're going here. Please tell me more about the event, your thoughts, some inside information.
I don't have anything more to get into. It looks like fun. It does. It's so scattershot on the because every day it's like, and now Bruce Kulick is going to be teaching you how to do fractions at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon at Wind Down in Nashville. You know, it's like, it's just constant. It's like at a certain point it becomes unbelievable. I've heard
how many
a little
events
bit of,
are going on. Yeah, but they're just
I've heard a little bit about the background of this, and so I understand a little bit how it likely is all going to happen, because to me that's what I think when it just keeps coming. It really sounds like the Vinnie Vincent box set, the way this thing is being promoted. It's like, and now you get two of them, and now they come with cassettes and CDs. Now it's on vinyl, and it's 20 vinyls with 45s of, you know, like, it's like a commercial. It's like, you know, but wait, there's more. Order in the next 10 minutes, and you get two Creatures Fests.
Well, that's I know. It's not like these events like that have been around. I mean, it's just the first year for this. So they're, you know, it's mm-hmm. They're developing it as it goes. It's not like a well-oiled machine like Mars Is a Rock Cruise that has things like, you know, bingo at 9 a.m. with Courtney Cronin-Dole and Jason Bieler. You know what I mean? Like those are things that are locked in and perfectly coordinated.
Well, so, in defense of Monsters of Rock, in defense of that, you have, what, 50 bands typically?
Yeah.
And you have this, the things happen, you have to rotate schedules, and I can't blame them for not accounting for a karaoke level control freak at the fucking bingo mic.
That part's fine. I'm just talking about coming up with new and new events last minute, stuff like that, you know, like bedtime stories.
Oh, that was kind of put together last minute?
Yeah, no, this wasn't on the schedule. Like, bedtime stories with Eddie Trunk wasn't on the original. Bedtime rock stories wasn't on the original, schedule. So
okay.
you gotta keep adding some stuff. But I will tell you this much about Creatures Fest is because we are respected rock journalists, we will be watching people's cell phone videos like we have in the past, yes. Right? And yeah. Making comments.
Tom Zeus, this is our bit, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Okay? We are the ones who experience festivals from a distance.
Correct.
Honestly, you brought up the $20 to go see Def Leppard. I'd pay $100 to see this if it was something I could manage to get to.
Yeah, if I was in my town, mm-hmm. if Creatures Fest was in Denver, goddamn right, I'm going to that thing.
There we go.
Because there, whether it's glorious or not glorious, it's material for... Oh,
yeah,
God.
You know, it's right up my alley, you know what I mean? Probably both of us, we both get that, like, when it's great, awesome. When it's not, it's also, like, this own level awesome. Of awesome, like, I got to see this, you know? I always cryptically kind of root for guys like Vince Neil to have one of those, like, embarrassing moments, but I always end up having to watch somebody else see it somewhere else. You know, when I go, he always kind of does at least a decent job.
A terrible show... at a reasonable price, is still a good value.
Always look at the bright side of life, as That's they right. say in The Life of Brian.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you forgot. And that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Come on!
Did I overpay for a terrible show? Then you're good. Then that's not good.
Yeah. So
there's a sweet spot. But no, exactly. Creatures Fest. Listen, they're building the tank, people. If you build a tank,
they built it. There's pictures of it online. It's actually pretty impressive. I like how, like, see, even that to me, it's just like, dude, think how awesome it would be if we built the tank from the Creatures Tour.
Yeah, like, they did it.
Okay. Yeah, who had this?
I wonder
cool.
if they had this schematic, like, there was somewhere in the notes. You know, one of those guys that has all the contracts from back in the day.
Oh, man. I wonder. I wonder if I really hope they hired, like, an engineer to redesign it. And like they get like they have Abner Devereaux send Sam the robot character out there from Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park,
yeah.
and take all the pictures of it from all the angles, which is just a one.
Sure.
Right there you go. I'm giving them more ideas. How awesome would it be if you had Sam from Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park showing up as a robot taking pictures?
Add it to the list. Why
the
not?
The Holy Quad.
Holy Quad, Sam. Who's the only one missing?
You got Vinny, you got Bruce, you got Ace, and you got Sam.
You got Sam. Done.
That's Man, how awesome it would be if we dug up Abner Devereaux. Man, dig up the body, put it on display, and it's the Holy Quint.
Is that actor still alive? Is
no,
he?
He's no,
not?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, he was in a bunch of stuff up to, like, he was in, like, a James Bond movie, like, later in life.
You know, and a fun fact about the guy who ran the park, Cameron Carmine something is that actor's name.
Oh, yeah.
Him, like, and Harvey
Italian
Weinstein. Him and Harvey Weinstein are the only two people to ever be kicked out of the Screen Actors Guild.
Is that right?
For two very different reasons. Harvey, of course, for the whole sexual inappropriateness.
And him for Fan of the Park.
No, for him was for selling advanced VHS copies of movies before they came out.
Oh, he's a hustler. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, in Brooklyn probably.
Totally seems like a guy that would do that from that, you know. Is there any cooking pasta with Vinny or anything like that or anything like
cooking
that?
With
like
Vinny. Vinny's actually the event with Vinny. He takes you to Dress Barn. You guys go dress shopping, so.
Oh, okay. That's very nice.
Pantsuits.
So it's actually an off-site deal.
Yeah, is that a joke that's going to get me in the Me Too crosshairs? I'm not sure. Like I said, Bruce is going to teach fractions. Mm-hmm. Ace is going to be attending that.
That'd be great.
Ace and Peter. Math.
Yeah,
Peter's just going to start a story that never ends and goes nowhere. It's story time with Peter. So, all these great events. Have you heard of anything else, or do you have any ideas for other things they haven't set up yet?
No, I just hope that Peter has, if he does an interview session, that he always has that little thing of cappuccino that he has. Have you ever seen the interviews with him? He always has just a little thing of
I've never seen
little coffee.
Him drink like
no?
that. No,
that's
no.
just his move. On some of these VH1
docs. I thought
docs.
His move was to ask his wife how to work the answering machine.
Okay.
Do you Gigi, think what button makes the message play?
What I would like to see is if Peter shows up kind of like Flavor Flav, and instead of the big clock, he just has a People's Choice Award hanging around his neck. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, he had to get it back from Paul.
Oh, he took it?
Paul gave it to Eric.
Oh, that was a dick move.
Puts it on the piano every night when they pretend to play Beth. So
okay, all right.
Instead of like "Wish You Were a Beer," he has a T-shirt that says "Wish You Were a People's Choice Award."
That's Peter. That's his whole thing. He looks. Life is just nothing but People's Choice Awards. He just imagines that people turn into like life-size versions of him, and then he's happy, right? Because he sees that's his validation in life. Come on.
I came here to talk about my People's Choice Awards and buy a new cassette to replace my answering machine, and I'm all out of People's Choice Awards.
That's right. I think that if Creatures Fest is a decent success, though, that you and I, much like Cobra Fest, should take over and really, really brainstorm and come up with a really shitty version of it that we can do low cost with not the Holy Trinity, but like people either further out. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Stars? I
like
think we
Sam.
Bring back I don't know if you've kept up to date with Michael Sweet, but basically he is wearing an eye patch now because of a detached retina. So I think now we are prime to bring back Cobra Fest and get Stripe R on the bill. So and he's got a sense of humor, so I think he'll do it.
Okay. So that's
and
one.
My God, imagine if you had Striper, Bell Biv DeVoe, and that other guy from Wham all together. Wouldn't that be fucking amazing? Jesus.
It's the Holy Trinity. What font is that?
that is the ungodly triune. Yeah, we'll use the Duran Duran font for some reason.
Ooh. Just bust it out. It's underused, really.
Yeah, it really is.
So I don't know about you, but I want to get out of here. What about you?
Yeah, man, I'm going to go. I'm going to hose myself off and get a haircut sometime today.
All right.
All right, buddy. Rock is not dead.
It's sporting a new pair of roos.
Well, I've been hanging out with my rebel son, Kid Rock. And I don't really like this stuff they call hip-hop. But he's sure been good to me, and I'm still trying to make him see. In country music, you just can't say the F word. My son Sheldon.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, LC, and I'm joined, as always, with a not too bad Baco. How are you, sir?
I tried waving you off there. Do that again. You were right at the click.
What does that even mean?
Like start.
That's fine.
Bam. You were just a little bit. You were pre-coming the intro there.
Jesus.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
All because of a fancy bike?
Not just bikes. We also make a rower.
Have you ever tried to row? Too hard.
Not with Form Assist. It actually teaches you how to row. So it doesn't matter if you're a first-time rower or a seasoned pro. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try the Peloton Row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.